the McCarthy Project, and we have been talking with Lindsay Berg about life as an athlete and life as it relates to an individual and how you go about succeeding at a high level. And I think one of the greatest conversations that I've seen over my span in sport is that a lot of coaches like to make that connection between sport or high-level success in sport and the business world. And when I was younger, I always kind of thought this was kind of cheesy and didn't really see the connection and didn't understand very well. But as I've gotten older, I think the principles are directly correlated. And I've asked Lindsay to talk a little bit about her life, because she's in a position where she's coming to the end of her career, and she is thinking about what she'll be doing after volleyball and how the things that she's done with volleyball to this point and how they apply to the future. So, Lindsay, thank you for coming on the show again today.
Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you heard my little intro there. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, as an athlete coming to the end of the career and the thoughts that go through your mind and what you've done to succeed and how you think they apply.
Well, first of all, I want to talk about how there's sometimes there is definitely a huge correlation. I've talked at a couple big businesses and had me talk to their, whether it was their marketing team or different teams, because they as well in business have teams. And a big part of it is communication. And they had me talk about the difference between probably communicating with the volleyball team and communicating in the business world. And a lot is just very similar, the type of communication you need to succeed. And so I got to talk to Coors after the Beijing Olympics. And that was real cool, seeing how much they appreciated hearing it from a different side, yet it was all the same. So it definitely has a ton of similarities. And I'm experiencing that a little bit as I try to expand and work towards my future of my after volleyball career. I'm in the process of opening up a boutique, and I'm the business partner in our partnership, and I'm trying to find investors for us, and it's hard. It's a different world, but it definitely there's some skills that you learn in sports that are the same in business, but as I would say, things just don't happen as fast as they do in sports. I talked about before, you go in the weight room or you go to practice and you get it done. And then it's on to the next thing. And in business, I've seen that I've met so many people, and most of them, and after the fact, nothing happens for what I'm looking for. So I think it's difficult, but I can see how the two are very similar as well.
See, that's one of the things that's interesting. You talk about the relationships. I am a relationship starter. That is my skill. I get excited, and a lot of people enjoy what I talk about. You know what I mean? And I would talk to people, and they would say, yeah, I'm in on that. And all of a sudden, next week, you go back to talk to them again, and now you can't even get them on the phone again. And you're like, it confused me at first. And what I, you know, have come to realize is that in the business world, you know, there are the ideas that a lot of people are talking, but they're not saying much. And if you were to walk into a company, you know, that is in that position, what types of things would you say to them to say, okay, we need to take this to the next level? How would you go about doing it?
Wow, that's a good question. I don't even know if I'm mentally there yet to know. I think companies know what they want a lot of times, and they're willing to hear a lot of different things, but I don't know if they're really ready to execute so fast, even when an idea is brought to them. I think they want to execute it in the way they want to execute it, but it will eventually happen. And I think as athletes, we're just so used to things happening right away. And we can't, in the athletic world and in a game or with your teammates or with a coach, you can't, like, beat around the bush, because you'll get nowhere. And I think in the business world, you can, in areas, beat around the bush, and sometimes it actually helps you. So I think the transition for an athlete to go into business is a good one because of our dedication and our hard work and our skills, but it's also a difficult one because it can be frustrating at the pace that some business negotiations happen.
And there's a lot to be said to be about the culture, you know, of a corporation. You know what I mean? If they're, you know, like I had a cousin that worked out in San Francisco in Silicon Valley, and they had a pool table, a foosball, a full fridge, you know what I mean? And that was the break room, if you will. And you could go play, you know, ping pong whenever you wanted or whatever. And in Minnesota, gosh, you would never have something like that. So I think when you walk into a team the first time and the culture is not what you expect, how do you approach going into that culture to be the leader?
Oh, well, you yourself have to change. Because normally if you're stepping into a team and that culture is working for them, you have to adapt to it if you want to be a leader in that certain culture. For example, I just went back to the team just for about a week, and three-fourths of the girls were new. I had to learn names, which is not something normal for me. I had to learn names. Our coach is the new head coach. He was our assistant, but he has developed his own culture in the gym. And I went in there, and I had to figure out what that culture was and try to adapt and see how I could lead from that culture. And it was an interesting experience because it was definitely a different culture that I've experienced in a while. But it was set, and my coach was pretty much like, this is how it's going to be. Are you buying into this? Like, this is what we're doing. And I was like, yep, I'll figure it out. So I think it's really all up to the person to adapt, because normally, unless it's a bad culture, you're not going to change it. And sometimes it is a bad culture, then you figure out ways to adjust and make it better. But if you walk into a situation that is good and is working for them, then it's you that has to adjust if you're not used to it.
It's funny, you mentioned in the previous segment as well this idea that, you know, even in a what I would define as a less than positive environment, you know, where there's, you know, the big strong leader, I guess, you know, I'm using different words, but power tripper, you know, where basically it's either my way or the highway, you know, kind of a thought process. And there are, you know, business leaders that have that way of thinking. And if you go in there and try to change him or her, you will inevitably fail.
Yeah.
But if you come in there with the right framework to understand and to frame them in the right direction. But how do you adjust when they're going, like, say you believe path A is the better of the two solutions, and you've known it to be the better of the two solutions, but they want to go down path B, you would say take path B and try to make it work?
I can't necessarily say that. I have a gift with certain people sometimes, and not necessarily manipulating them, but just knowing how to speak to people. And I think there's ways of accomplishing things of not necessarily them even knowing that they're changing, but the way you speak to them and the way you convince them to do it a certain way, it works without them knowing that they're making this huge path B change or path A change.
It's funny because you say that, because really it is about you and your understanding of your craft. Because we talked about it on the court, where you got to get to the point where you're so good at something that you can just do it. And that same principle applies here to say, you know, I know I'm good. I know this is the right direction. I know that I can gently lead somebody to where they need to go, not walk in there and say, okay, don't cross this red line or you guys are out, you know, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I think the interesting thing about what you're saying is that you can gently guide people while not being manipulated.
For sure. But that also takes the person, you have to have the personal confidence, and you also have to have the ability to take responsibility as well as a person and know when you did wrong or did right or made a mistake. And a lot of it is just like knowing yourself personally and what you can handle and how you can help people or how you can realize and accept that you need someone else's help, because there's nothing wrong with asking for help. And I think it's a huge just personal process that you go through as a person and an athlete to get to a place where you're really okay admitting when you're right, when you're wrong, when you need help. And it takes a long time. You have to be vulnerable and let yourself out there to really realize what it's going to take to get you to the top level to be your best.
Because I'm going to ask another question, because we talked about it off air about the idea of individualism and having no problem being an individual. How do you reconcile the idea of being part of the whole culture, but yet maintaining your individualism?
Yeah, I definitely think I am the number one person that does that. No, I'm such a team player. I have to be a team player. On the court, I'm a team player. Anything that has to do with my team, I am that person that will just, you know, be selfless and give other things up for these other people to make them better or to just make the team better or to work with the coach. But off the court, I do my own thing. Yes, I have a select few that are my good friends from the team that I'll be with, but I'm not like the volley girl. I rarely talk about volleyball unless it's a conversation just specifically about what I'm doing these days in volleyball. I'm really an individual into art and into fashion and into having different relationships that aren't in volleyball, and I'm okay with it. And there's been people that have judged me. There's been people that can't believe I don't want to go down to Manhattan Beach or Mimosa Beach and hang out with the volleyball crew and so on and so forth. But I'm okay with that. And I'm okay. You have to get to a point with being okay with who you are before anyone else is going to accept you or respect you. And I've just continued to be my own individual and not, even though I'm so in the volley world, I feel like I'm not in the volley world at the same time.
Because it's funny, because there would be people in volleyball that would name you as a leader. And it's interesting because you're proposing an idea of being the ultimate team player and being an individual outside of the team so that you maintain your balance. And so you're not like, I have given it all for the team and I've lost myself in the process.
Yeah, I think it's a huge growing process for a person as an individual in their life. You have to find the balance, I think, to succeed at the highest level. Burnout is legit. Burnout happens. I've experienced it. And until you can find, if you're training that hard or with the team that much as we are, you have to find outlets of what helps you, what you enjoy, whether it's being with your family or you have another hobby or whether it's writing or reading, whatever it is, you have to have a balance. I think in life, in any, your work, you can get, if you're a CEO of a company, you have to have a balance. You have to go on vacation or do something, because burnout is real. And I think a lot of athletes struggle with it and go through it if they're really trying to make it to that top level.
It's funny because now let's come – so we talked about it as far as the individualism comes outside the team and then creates balance. Now let's go back into the team player aspect and say, okay, I'm a team player, but more times than not when people say that, that becomes the doormat, so to speak, because people just run over them. You know what I mean? Talk to us about being a leader and a team player at the same time within the concept of a team atmosphere.
That's a deep one. Obviously, your teammates, your coaches develop a certain amount of respect from you in certain areas, whether it's they've seen your work ethic, whether they've seen how you help others of your team, whether it's your communication, how you talk to people, whether it's you perform well every day in practice, and it shows on the court. After that, in games, there's different ways of earning respect from your teammates, your coach, organization, whatever it is. And I think that is what names you as a team player, is when you have the respect of all of your teammates. And they know that they can look at you and you're willing to do something for them that is going to help them on the court. That's what I consider a team player.
But then that also becomes a leader too, because you've earned the respect to move up in their minds so that they'll listen to you.
Exactly. But it's all about how you communicate with people. A leader can't just yell at people, can't just try to be the number one on the team. That's not what it is. It's how I find a leader is every day I step on the court is I'm trying to make everyone around me better. And to me, that is what a leader does. And one day it might not be talking to even this one girl that's having a bad day. And I know that the worst thing to do when she's having a bad day is to try to talk to her. So I might not talk to her that day. And I made her better. Then after practice, you know, she's done, she's out of it. I've had them come and thank me, like, thank you for not talking to me today. And I think as a leader, you just have to get to know, if you're on a team, what helps each of your players? What doesn't help each of your players? How are you going to make this team the best it can be? Are you motivating today by just showing that you're not going to let a ball drop on the floor? Or are you talking? Do people need more of a verbal communication today? And it's complicated, and it's something that you can improve on and work on, but it's definitely something that you want to. You have to want to improve on that. And it's been something that I've wanted to become really good at.
It's interesting to hear you, and just to sit back and listen to how you approach it, and you really have elevated life, you know, beyond just the simple act of either making the sale or doing the work or accomplishing the mission, you know, all those kind of things, is that each situation you have to have confidence in, you have to be an individual looking at each situation as an individual situation with an individual that you're working with and what's best at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
And every time is different. But then it just becomes normal. Like for me, it makes my day if I know that I motivated someone in the right way or if I made that person better. Like it honestly makes my day. Because I feel like that's why I'm here and that's why I continue to play. It's not necessarily that I'm a good setter, but I think I help people around me. And I think I'll continue to play until I know that it's not working anymore. Because I think the playing will always be there. I've been playing since I was 6 years old. I can probably play with my eyes closed. And yeah, people are going to be physically better than me for sure. That has been my whole career. But the mental aspect of it has been difficult for people to think like I think.
Yeah.
And my experience has obviously helped me in my skill-wise, and then my mental has gotten me there along with my determination and heart. So, like, I'd say the physicalness of me has been like last place, and sometimes in volleyball, a hitter would probably need to be physical, but not always. But I've been lucky with my position that I've been able to overcome lack of physicality. Is that a word? just be a professional and to the best level in other areas of the game.
Because I have a couple other questions, as I always do. I think that's the beauty of being on this side of the conversation, is you get to ask every question that you come to your mind. But there is a thing called assumption. You know what I mean? And there's a fine line between assuming what's happening or assuming what's going to happen and analyzing the situation. How do you view assumption, or as it relates to that person that maybe doesn't want to be talked to, but you know that's what they need, but yet you know that they don't need it? How do you wrap in that scenario?
Well, first of all, I hate assumptions. People assume things about me all the time, and it bugs me. So I turn it around looking at, well, I'm going to not assume anything about anyone because I don't like when people assume things about me. So I've worked on that even before I have the opportunity to assume something, like try to find out instead. And that's not finding out through other people unless it's like a coach or someone that I have a really good relationship. But I just, you know, go to the person. And I feel like that's okay, and they're okay with it to this point because beforehand I've established that relationship with them. So people on my team, I definitely try not to assume anything. I rather just go straight to them. And at the end of the day, that might bother them for a quick second, but at next week, they're going to be happy that I didn't assume anything or I didn't say anything behind their back or talk to someone else about it, but I went directly to them because there's always a solution most of the time. And I think just speaking directly and sincerely and genuinely and honest, you can't go wrong with that. Sometimes things hurt initially, as things do in life in general. But if you approach it like that, I feel that it's always been a positive for me.
It's funny because in putting my thoughts around what you're saying, it's interesting how you're saying that you can direct people to where they to a path maybe they're not seeing, and then therefore they would then say, oh, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. Let's go that route. But on the other hand, you're not making an assumption. You're going there and you're working directly with them to help them see. You know what I mean? You're not walking there saying, assuming that they're a big loser because they're not seeing that the way you want to go is true, if that makes
sense. Yeah, I ask a lot of questions to my teammates and stuff. If they do something that I personally wouldn't do or wouldn't go that route, I ask them, like, I'm not judging on why you did that. I want to know, like, your thought process about it so I can understand you more. Questions like that. And I'm sure my teammates get irritated with me all the time about what I ask, why I'm asking this question, why she really wants to know this. But when it comes down to the end, it really makes me as a leader of the team know that person that much better and be able to help them that much more.
As always, the time flies. It always amazes me when we sit down and talk. Because, I mean, there's so many different pieces to this discussion when you start to think about a team. And a team is made up of a team, but it has individuals in it. And I think that's what's beautiful hearing your philosophy is that you can have both. You don't have to have one or the other.
You can have it all. As far as I'm concerned.
Amazing. All right. Thank you, Lindsay, very much for coming on the show. We've done this twice, and each time I've walked away thinking, gosh, I could ask a whole lot more, and I'm sure you would be willing to, but we do have to let people go back to work or, you know, onto their regular everyday life. But where can people get a hold of you if they want to get in touch with you? I know that you're got some other projects as well.
Yeah, I've started actually to updating a little more. I have a fan Facebook page, Lindsay Berg Official. I'm tweeting all the time at Napella, which is my middle name, N-A-P-E-L-A. And, you know, Instagram the same, and I'm trying to be more connected. My new website will launch within the month, and that's lindsaynapellaberg.com. And it will have some interesting stuff. I'm trying to connect with not only volleyball players, other athletes, and just other women that struggle with certain struggles that I do as well, and just try to motivate and just be a better person and